Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcast, I think. I don't know what they're up to. Hopefully they're doing local podcast. I know I am. hope everyone's having a great day. It's Friday, July the 15th, 2022. A spectacular day here on the East Coast. Hope it's wonderful wherever you are at. We are in the dog days of summer. It is hot and humid, and it's perfect. I love it. Got up this morning, went for a run with the doctor, Jimmy K. Hadn't run. Well, you know when I've run. It's probably been 4 weeks. Amazing, amazing, amazing run. It was so good to get out. You know, typical battle with self and mind. You know, self and mind telling me, don't do it. You're going to have a heart attack. Whatever it says. But I got up and I did it. And I knew it. And I ran. I was strong. And it was a fantastic run. Always great to catch up with another sober person to, you know, sift out my bullshit. Fun fact, this morning we were talking, I found this out, that the reason they call it bullshit is because the nutritional property of male steer manure is bad. Apparently there's a lot of salt and seed and weeds and shit and steer poop, and that's where the word bullshit come from. And I actually told my buddy James, who's a very smart person. He's a doctor. And he was like, I don't believe it. And I go, it's true. He's like, I just don't believe it. I go, it's true. So I Googled it and sent it to him. And it is true. That's where the word bull and shit come from, bullshit. But the term that's bullshit comes from basically the nutritional value of a steer manure, which I thought was kind of funny. So, but anyway, we had a great chat. Always great to, just spew my nonsense and then have somebody else kind of go, what? What the hell are you talking about? And but we were good. We had a great run. Jimmy K, he's been doing a lot of running. I have not. That's a whole nother podcast. I just feeling quite content and not so driven to, I don't know, run my guts out, which is what I've done in the past. And, you know, it's all something, right? I mean, a lot of that derives from me not really feeling good about myself, which is a lot of youthful stuff. Growing up, I never felt good enough, never really felt part of. And that, you know, I dragged that anchor into fucking being an adult. And, you know, running to look better, to be, for people to like me. And, you know, it's just sometimes things that look good surface are good, but internally, you know, I guess a perfect world would be like where you just are completely cool and don't care about what anybody thinks. And I have not reached that point. I'm close. I'm getting closer. And a lot of that, I think with age and time, I'm starting to, you know, come to peace, surrender a bit to this ego and this constant drive to be awesome and look great. And, you know, the other thing is I was talking to Jimmy about it this morning. I've ran for a lot of years just to so I can eat, sort of eat poorly, not on purpose, maybe not as willing to address the eating issues and thinking that if I run enough, it'll all go away. And it usually doesn't. I've shared before, I don't eat enough. My body thinks I am starving. And when it thinks you're starving, if you think you're not going to get any food, if there's no more food coming to you, the first thing we do is we start to store and hoard. And that's sort of what my body does. If I don't eat enough food, it starts to store and hoard my fat, because fat is fuel. And, you know, my body doesn't know that I want to look good. My body just knows that it needs fuel to move the brain car. And so, whatever. It was great. It was great to get out. I do enjoy a nice run. I really do. It's a little bittersweet today. Today is the last day, at least the last Friday, that I will be running from our house. We are blessed to have a house down by the Junction Breakwater Trail, which is an amazing trail that runs from... They've actually really done a lot of work on the trails, Rails to Trails program, which was a program that they decided that all the railroad tracks that used to kind of ship different things here into the area, down into Lewis. There's a plant, I think, that makes like an antacid, whatever that is. I mean, I know what an antacid is, but how they make it or whatever. But they used to have train cars that used to bring a lot of stuff in here, and we really don't use the trains anymore. And so they're converting all the rails into trails, which is very cool. But the initial trail, which was sort of this backwoods tractor road, really. I remember when I first got my house in 98, I rode my bike down there, and they were, you know, you came to a road and you could go right or left, and it was kind of a dirt road, but about every 25 yards was like a sand pit. So you couldn't drive a car back there because your car would get stuck in the sand, but you could drive, you know, a tractor. So I used to ride my bike back there, but over the years, eventually so many bigger brains than mine came up with the idea of turning these into some great trails. And so the one that we live next to, the Junction Breakwater Trail, is just fucking amazing. It's like, you know, I run that trail. We've been running the trail for 20 years, and we run the trail, and you take pictures, and it looks like, you know, those whimsical pictures you see of, like, in Asia, these beautiful... it reminds me of, like, a place that you would make up, and it's just such an amazing spot. And we've been blessed to basically run from my front door down to the trail, but today would be, at least on a Friday, our last. And you know, it's kind of weird. I don't know why I'm even saying that, because, you know, we're moving, but we're moving about 5 miles down the road. I can absolutely drive my car over here and run on the trail. It's not like I don't want to make more of this than I need to. You know, I don't need to, you know, drive the point home hard enough where I need to start getting out a tissue or something. It's not hard to get back over here. But, you know, I like a good heartwarming story. So it will be our last Friday to run from the house to the trail. But what a better way to finish it off than running with the doctor and proving to self that self is wrong. I did not have a heart attack. I am still capable of running, even though I hadn't run for a few weeks. And like I've known and like I continue to know, self is not my biggest fan. Self is not my biggest cheerleader, which is a shame, you know. It would be so fucking cool if self was like, God damn it, get up, man. And I'm like, I don't want him. And self's like, you got this, bro. Instead of being like, yeah, let's stay in bed. What's that about? Right? I feel like if God could have done a couple different things. One is made our teeth stronger, and two, you know, made us a bigger fan of ourselves, right? I mean, why is it that every time I want to do something that benefits me, I got to catch a lot of grief from self? Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice. The pompous of love. People talk about me, baby. Say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. Well, don't you worry, baby, don't worry. Cause I'm right here, right here, right here, right here at home. Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover.
a smoker. I'm a midnight toker. I sure don't want to hurt no one. I'm a picker. I'm a grinner. I'm a lover. And I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker. I'm a smoker. I'm a midnight toker. My
loving
on the run.
Yeah, get my loving on the run. Love it. Yep, so that's me in a nutshell this morning. Just really super blessed. I don't know if I've talked about it, but my son went on a big trip with his mom. That was planned prior to the pandemic, prior to COVID, all that nonsense. And I think we're seeing a lot of people that had a lot of stuff that was planned prior and that are starting to try to, at least, if not, if they hadn't canceled and gotten a refund, are trying to do some of these trips. And this was just the time for the trip to happen. He's been gone. The trip's a month. It's like cruising. I mean, it's a trip of a lifetime. You know, I can never afford to take, unfortunately, at least not at this point in my life, but, you know, hopefully one day we could do something like this. But, you know, this is one of those trips where the parents gather all the family and they take the trip of a lifetime, and he's blessed enough to go get to do it. And so they left a couple weeks ago, or maybe it's been a week, I don't know, but they left a week ago, and now they go on another cruise, and then they go on a riverboat cruise, and I mean, they're in Germany and France and all these places. And you know, I'm like, well, text me, you know, but it costs a lot of money. So I guess the point is we haven't heard from him. And quite honestly, my feelings were a little hurt. And well, my feelings weren't hurt until I texted him this morning on his phone. And I said, are you getting texts? And he says, yeah, but we can't use it because it costs 10 cents or something. I'm like, oh, they spend $50,000 on a trip of a lifetime, but they can't afford 10 cent texts. Of course. But the other thing was that he said, but we can communicate through Instagram. And I was like, oh, I was a little bothered, a little annoyed. My feelings got a little bent out of shape. But we've been texting this morning and it's been great to chat with him. I'm like, why didn't you text us? God, we've been worried about you. I'm sorry. And in a little bit in his defense, he did try to Instagram or send me a text or Instagram, and my I don't have my Instagram on my phone anymore, so I didn't realize it. It's only on my laptop, which I keep here, so I didn't have it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's great to talk to my big boy this morning, and he's having a lot of fun. So, but anyway, let's see. I was wanting to talk about, I read this Just for Today. It's through NA. I don't know why. I feel like there's a Just for Today in the AA, but Just for Today in NA, and let me see, I think I still have it on this computer up here. Let me see. Yeah, I have it right here. I don't know why there is, I can't find the other one, but anyway, it says, let me see if I can pull this up. Ugh. All right, some system. Yeah. I read this yesterday. It's so funny. I tried to do this podcast yesterday and I just could not get my thoughts together. And I tried to do it and started over a couple of times, and I couldn't remember what I had said, so it was just a big shit show. So I gave up and thought I'd try it again this morning. But yeah, I like this, and this is actually something my wife and I have been talking about. And but it says July 14th, so this is from yesterday. I'm just going to read it anyway, but it says an inside job. And it says social acceptability does not equal recovery. I think that's a very big statement there. One of the first things that happens to many of us in recovery is that we start to look better. We get healthier, we bathe, we dress more appropriately, and without the goading of active addiction, many of us finally stop stealing, lying, and hustling. We start to look normal just by removing the drugs. Looking normal is very different than being normal. Acceptability in the eyes of the world is a benefit of recovery. It is not the same thing as recovery. We can enjoy the benefits of recovery, but we must take care to nurture their true source. Lasting recovery isn't found in acceptance from others, but in the inner growth set in motion by the 12 steps. Just for today, I know that looking good isn't enough. Lasting recovery is an inside job. Yes. Thank you, computer. That is a, that's, yeah. You know, just like this morning in running, you know, when I first got, you know, when I got sober early on, it was everything that I could do to improve my outside appearance. You know, deep in the addiction, deep in doing the things that I was doing, the last thing I cared about was what how I looked, right? You know, and I've shared before, my addiction was really started with amphetamines. You know, I had a real addiction to amphetamines, and I had a real addiction to the lifestyle of amphetamines, and I had a real addiction to the appearance that the amphetamines gave me, which, you know, you see a lot of horror stories of people that have lost all their teeth, and, you know, that didn't happen to me. I actually was, like, super skinny. I felt really great shape. You know, I wore, like, 28, 32s. I mean, I was just... I laugh because we just watched that Seinfeld where Jerry admits that he scrapes off the two and writes a one on his jeans, which I thought was complete. I totally got. But, you know, my hair, I had great long hair. I was skinny. I thought I looked fantastic. I enjoyed, you know, all of the facets of that addiction. And that is a real, that, like, I've shared before, if I was struggling with methamphetamine right now, I don't know how successful I would be. And I hate to say that, but my God, I had a real strong relationship with that drug. And the only way that I got out of there was moving. And I happened to move at a time where it wasn't really everywhere, and including here. And so when I got here, there wasn't any. And I completely shifted all of my efforts and addictions, or myself, whatever it is, towards alcohol and everything else other than meth, right? And, you know, when I would drink, after I would drink enough, all of a sudden I'd want to start doing coke. I'd want to snort something. I mean, it was just this real sickness. But, you know, I was almost fine with how I felt about myself back in the speed up days. But when I came to Delaware and I shifted all that energy to alcohol, I was coming off of meth, so immediately there's going to be some sort of rebound. So I went from, like, you know, 120 pounds, 140 pounds, or whatever I weighed at the time, to, you know, 180. So I probably put on 50 pounds of weight. I got fat. I got gross. You know, I'd been living in San Diego. It was, you know, relatively pretty neutral climate moving to the East Coast, and it was hot and humid and wet and damp, and it was just a pig, and just really at the bottom. So when I finally decided, you know, sobriety, when somebody finally decided sobriety might be a good idea for me through the, you know, a punch to the face, the first thing that I thought of was I got to get myself in shape. And I remember taking a spinning class and just the toxins and sweat pouring out of me. It was just disgusting. But it would be the beginning of a real, an interesting relationship, you know, with health and fitness and you know, all under the umbrella of taking care of myself. But, you know, really in the back door, it's really taking care of myself, right? My appearance to look better. And, you know, I started losing some weight, and I started to get in better shape, and I started eating right, and I finally quit smoking, and I had quit the drinking, and, you know, it started to look good. And all of a sudden, people started to like me, and all of a sudden, you know, a different class of women started to pay attention to me. And all of a sudden, I started getting better, a better job, and then a better education, and all the dents started popping out, and I started fucking feeling fantastic. But really, that wasn't my, but that was really not my issue, right? My issue was that I'm a self-centered asshole with deficiency in humility. So it's easy to get distracted by this change that takes place in our lives. You know, if you're at the bottom of the barrel and whatever you're doing and you decide to stop, you will get better. People, I mean, you talk to, I mean, in the business I'm in, I have so many conversations, you wouldn't believe how many people are just fucking unhealthy because of the amount of alcohol they drink, you know? But they will defend that alcohol. And every day I have a room. I was talking to a lady the other day. You know, she's a drinker. She has to run. She has to do all these crazy things just so that she can still look good and be a drinker, right? You know, you can't have both. You can't be a big drinker and look good. I mean, you can, but the work that is required to bridge those two is a tough bridge to cross. And it's the same thing. You can't look good and have an addiction to food, right? You can't overeat and look good. You get one or the other. And the battle that takes place between the two is fucking brutal. And, you know, it's, I see it every day. And I feel bad for people that just cannot let go of the freaking alcohol. But for me, I was able to let go, got rid of the alcohol, and then it was just all taking care of myself. But that's, you know, I've said this before. I still believe it. You know, I feel like sobriety is very self-centered. I think it has to be, or self would be like, I don't want to do this anyway. You know, self's got to, there's a meeting between you and self and recovery. And self has to say, all right, what's in this for me? And we're going to look better? Okay. We're going to get coins. We're going to get time. We're going to get praised. And I think it's all great, you know, but self has to be involved or you're not getting anywhere. Unless self wants to do it, it's like being married, right? You know, unless my wife wants to do something, we're not doing it, right? I could have the best idea to go out to eat at a restaurant. Unless my wife wants to eat there, we're not going. Really, she pretty much as I think I run the show, my wife runs the show. But I also know that I'm okay with that. It keeps us, you know, not scratching each other's eyeballs out. But that's sort of the same way, you know, you can't have both, right? That's like, you know, when I had gotten sober when I first met my wife and she was drinking and I was like, you know, I was done with relationships. I didn't want anything to do with relationships. I didn't care anymore. I'd been through two divorces. I was like, I'm done. I'm just going to hang out with my kids and just get old and die. And I had met my wife and you know, she enjoyed some beverages, whether it was a lot or a little, doesn't matter. The point was that she enjoyed them and I didn't care. I'm like, I don't care. You drink whatever. Cause I'm not falling in love with you. I'm not going to get wrapped up in another relationship. So do whatever the fuck you want to do. And you know how that goes. The day I met her, we haven't been apart ever since. We've been together every day since I've met her for the most part. But, you know, at some point, her drinking started to become a thing. You know, I was like, well, why don't you just have a couple beers on the weekend? Why does it have to be every night? And she's like, yeah, okay, I'll just have a couple beers on the weekend. So that meant like two giant IPAs from Dogfish Head on Friday, two giant Dogfish IPAs on Saturday, two giant Dogfish IPAs on Sunday. I mean, the big ones, the big, tall bruisers. And I'm like, okay, you are me. Me and you are the same. This is exactly how I was I've talked about, you know, when I decided to start drinking, that voice. And I approached my wife at the time. I said, listen, I think I can drink. I'll just have a couple beers. And I would have, you know, a couple meant three. And a couple meant three plus the two that I would drink before she knew it. So now I'm into five. And then I'm five into it. And then I start asking her, do you mind if I have the six or the third, right? Because I'm supposed to only have a couple. And that would start happening with us. She'd be like, do you care if I just have three tonight? And I go, I am not the fucking drinking police. You know what? And that, you know, we ended up clashing together on this. And I said, listen, you can't be in a relationship with someone that's sort of sober and stable. And, you know, whether I'm crazy or not, but, you know, any problems we have, it isn't because I drank too much, right? Yeah, maybe, you know, do I know when to keep my mouth shut or whatever? I'm always working on something, right? But you don't get the stability of being in a relationship with somebody that's sober, but at the same time be drinking. You just don't get them both. You don't get that luxury. And I said, listen, you should be with somebody that drinks. Why don't you, you know, go be with someone drinking and have fun and don't be hung, because then I feel like an anchor. I feel like the downer, right? Blah, poor me. Blah. And I'm like, I don't want to feel that way. So go be with drinking people. And she's like, I don't want to be with drinking people. I don't want to drink. I hate how much I drink. And she quit. And that was a couple years ago. But it's the same thing. You don't get both worlds, right? You don't get to be gluttonous with food and work out. You know, there's this, the battle, the bridge is tough. So, but, you know, it was, you know, early on, it was all about trying to feel better and look better. And the better I looked and the better I felt, the more I forgot that I was an alcoholic, right? And a lot of this is in that first 4 years. And a lot of my, you know, a lot of this, I'm looking back now and I'm like, God, it's so obvious, right? It's so obvious where I was, where the confusion was. But like I told Jimmy this morning, I drank because there was a day that, because I was living over in Eastern Maryland and James and had stopped by one day and I was binge drinking. I had the conversation with self and then discussed it with, I think I discussed it with my wife, experimented with drinking as, you know, as a couple. That had not worked. Now I had probably decided that I will not drink anymore, and now I was into sneak drinking, right? And stashing bottles and all that shit. And I remember one day the door knocked, and I opened it. It was my buddy Jimmy Kay, and he had stopped by for a visit, and, you know, I was deep into the addiction. I was back into it, and I don't think I was drinking at that time, but, yeah, it was just, it was a dark, dark time. So the point of this whole thing is that, you know, we have to be, I have to be careful because, you know, when I started feeling better and when I started looking better, that's when the real work has to start. And I was saying this to my wife because my wife's been sober a couple of years and, you know, my wife was the classic case. She was, you know, puffy, right? We get puffed up and my wife, you know, she quit drinking and my God, she looks fucking spectacular. Oh my God. Her skin looks fantastic. She's got, you know, great definition in her cheeks. She just looks awesome. And we look back, you know, on Facebook, if you post pictures, you can see like, you know, memories and there's old pictures of us and you can tell the days when she was drinking. And then you look at her now and she looks fantastic. And she goes, you know, I just feel fantastic and I just feel better than I ever have. And I go, yeah, but this is right now is where the real work starts. You know, this is where the fucking rubber meets the road because it's hard to dig around and find a reason to keep working, right? Or at least keep working on ourselves because it's not blaring at us. We don't have family that's pissed off at us. We don't have a smoking bent up car in the driveway. We don't have, you know, a pink slip. We don't have eviction notice. We don't have tons of reasons that are surrounding us why we should be sober. We have tons of reasons why we are fantastic, right? And so I said, this is where the real work starts. And she goes, I don't understand what that means. That's scary. And I go, yeah, because you don't have a lot of, there's not a lot of reasons, not a lot of reminders right now, not a lot of red flags, not a lot of sirens and shit. And because, you know, this is the time where meetings don't seem as important. This is a real, you know, if a person that's, you know, came into the rooms or whatever you're doing and, or whatever group or whatever program you're trying, but, you know, you come in and you're humble and you're beat down and you look like shit and you feel like shit and then all the dents start popping out and you get a little bit of time and then all of a sudden, you know, and I was trying to share this yesterday. It's like a, you know, I'm in the hair business, and every once in a while, I'll cut myself. You know, I'll cut, like, the fucking top of my knuckle off or something fucking crazy like that. And, you know, my God, I can't bend my finger. My hand hurt. My arm aches. Everything aches, and it aches for a few days. And then, you know, the flap starts to heal, and then I can finally take off the Band-Aid. And then, you know, I'm just bumping it on shit every once in a while, and a little reminder of, like, ow, you really cut yourself. Or, and then eventually it heals, and, you know, I forget about it every once in a while, catching a glimpse of the scar, reminding myself, oh, shit, that was pretty bad. But, you know, I look at my finger now, the scar's gone, right? I have no reminders of that moment. And that's sort of how sobriety or recovery was for me. You know, it was very, very clear the day that I got into the fight that I needed to find some sobriety. But I don't have that. The stitches aren't around anymore. And the pain isn't, and the shame isn't, and the people that I knew at the time aren't, and nothing, everything has changed. And that's when that voice, you know, and, you know, I remember saying out loud, I'll never drink again. And I did. And, so, yeah, what time is it? Yeah. Let's see. Let's read something. let's read something and then I'm going to go because it's Friday. I hope everyone's having a freaking amazing day. I'm, just another blessed day here. Let's see. Do daily reflections. Where are you at, sir? Uh-oh. Daily DE. Here we go. Daily reflections. Oh, I'm not going to make the meeting tonight. I got to go out to dinner with my family that are in town, which is, I'm a little annoyed about it, but we'll work it out. All right, pride. P-R-I-D-E, pride, July 15th. For thousands of years, we have been demanding more than our share of security, prestige, and romance. When we seemed to be succeeding, we drank to dream still greater dreams. When we were frustrated, even in part, we drank for oblivion. Never was there enough of what we thought we wanted. In all these strivings, so many of them well-intentioned, our crippling handicaps had been our lack of humility. We had lacked the perspective to see the character building and spiritual values had come first, and the material satisfactions were not the purpose of living. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 71. Time and again, I approached the seventh step, only to fall back and regroup. Something was missing, and the impact of the step escaped me. What had I overlooked? A single word? Read but ignored? The foundation of all the steps, indeed, the entire Alcoholics Anonymous program, that word is humbly. I understood my shortcomings. I constantly put tasks off. I angrily, easily, I felt too much self-pity, and I thought, why me? Then I remembered, pride goeth before the fall, and I eliminated pride from the fall. Yeah, I like that. It says, I understood my shortcomings. I thought. It's like all I. Yeah. Anyway, I hope everyone's having a great day. I will catch you later. Bye.
I'm a midnight toker. I give my love.